So we dropped all of our prices because we're trying to create community here instead of just try to make money. I always said that when I was in real estate, that if we took care of our community first, the money would come. And
They
that's
would take care of us.
exactly. And that's what we're trying to do here. So on our Fansly now, we have it opened up pretty wide for about $100. You can see every pay-per-view that we have available opened right there. We're also dropping the prices of all our pay-per-views across the board. So instead of $30 a pop, they're going to be $20 a pop. We know the economy is struggling right now, but we also just really want to increase the amount of people that can see our content and possibly join in. So if you think that might be you, check it out, virginitysnatchers.com. Please support us and leave a comment, like it, share it, tell your family about it, and we'll see you there. So I feel like this is one of those items that everybody always laughs about. Like you kind of saw it in movies, you're like, oh, it's a penis pump, and you're thinking, what is the point of that? Well, along with all of this fame that I've been given through this podcast, Bathmate was kind enough to send me a penis pump to try out. Now, I told him, on a good day, I'm pushing 9 inches. He sent me the Hydro Extreme 7, and I was hesitant to use it at first because, again, I don't really feel like I need this. But the way they explained it to me is this is kind of like a workout. My dick is like an athlete, like a professional athlete, like, let's say, an NFL player. And it needs to work out daily. So I need to pump iron with this thing about 3 times a day. Do 3 minutes of pumping, and then maybe do 2 minutes of what we call jelking. And we do that 5 times a week, so 15 different sessions. To say that Stephanie can feel a difference is, I mean, it goes without saying. I can feel a difference because I'm feeling parts of Stephanie I've never felt before, so I know she can feel a difference. Y'all, it's fun. It feels pretty good. And I mean, it boosts the confidence. I think you should check it out. Go ahead and get one for yourself. bathmatedirect.com/StephanieClassX.
Hey Jason, I think it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
All right, babe, what do you got on your mind?
Well, we've been talking about the spicy pages a lot on the podcast, but I think it's time that we finally invite them in and let them see what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody always wants to know how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. And the first way to get involved is to actually see what it is that we do. All of our stuff is so real and so raw. But how are you thinking we do it? Like movie announcer style?
Sure, we can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a go. In a world where ordinary podcasts just aren't enough, two podcasters with incredible genitalia break free from the mic to bring you an awkward experience like no other. Exclusive content awaits at virginitysnatchers.com.
Dive deep behind the scenes and join us for unfiltered, uncut, and undeniably wild adventures.
Don't just listen, be a part of the journey.
You can come watch me take every single virginity, see close-ups as they enter my pussy for the first time, and get an even closer look into our kinky world.
How was that for dramatic?
I mean, it was dramatic. It might be a little over the top, but I think they'll get the point.
All right. Well, if y'all want to reach out to us, you check out our paid pages. You can find them all on virginitysnatchers.com. Love to interact. We'd love to do custom content, and we'd love to help answer your questions. If you need a guaranteed response, you find us on there. If you want to support us, that's the way to do it. Now,
let's get back to the show.
You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Class, along with my wife, OnlyFans model, and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Class. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you. Listening to Awkward Pillow Talk. I'm just gonna give you a heads up on this one. This one was filmed back in June.
Yep. Our apologies to Timothy Baxter. Yes. We already told him it was a hell of a summer, but we really did enjoy speaking to him. Always nice to speak to a fellow dork, you know, somebody that can fully understand, you know, kind of what we geek out over on stuff.
Yeah.
If he is somebody you relate to, make sure you check out his links. And we will have a few more interviews coming up from other guests over the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind as you listen to those intros. I'll try to give you a heads up beforehand, but some of those may be giving you old news, something that you heard about before.
Right.
But enjoy listening to our episode with Timothy Baxter.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Awkward Pillow Talk. And everything's kind of moving along for us.
Yes. Yeah,
kind of slowly, sometimes faster than we mean it to.
Yes, sometimes.
But we got picked up by OFTV, which is really exciting. Yeah, so you can start seeing episodes kind of dropping through more frequently. We're uploading them in
bulk. Slow waves.
Well, I'm uploading it in bulk right now. She has no idea what I'm doing.
I have no idea.
She's just kind of sits back and just, she's just pretty. but we're kind of uploading it in waves, and hopefully we're expecting some exciting things to come from that.
Yep.
We've got some big plans coming up within the next month or two. So everybody make sure you kind of follow our OF podcast page. That's onlyfans.com/awkwardtalk. And we're going to have a lot of stuff on there. And Steph's been doing a lot of stuff just like, you know, hey, check out the, you know, rocket launch that we have.
Just
geeking out over a bunch of different shit. So
it's pretty cool.
So another awesome guest today that we're going to be talking to, and again, Steph and I got caught up in that pre-show lobby, you know, just kind of chit-chat, and I had to be like, hey, let's hold up for a second, because this kind of feels like something that I may be interested in.
And
in
we knew that this was going to be a good conversation.
Yeah, this is a good one. So, like I said, I do not introduce titles, but I will introduce Tim. So, Tim, you got to do a little work now, man. Tell us what you do.
Okay, well, I am a licensed clinical professional counselor in the state of Maine. I also hold my licensed professional counselor in both Oklahoma and Colorado. I'm also a sex therapist and a podcaster, just as yourselves. I have two podcasts. One is called the Sexy Nerd Podcast, in which we talk about sex. We kind of geek out about sex itself, and then we also... oftentimes I will throw in so many geeky things into those sex conversations, right? So I think I sent to you and Stephanie a little kind of like a demo of what I do, talking about Batman and his utility belt being very fucking useful for, you know, if you're a couple, having a utility belt like that would be super useful for your sex toys and your lubes and shit like that, right? And
absolutely.
I think I thought about it whenever we were talking about doing the show and kind of thinking about the fact that, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, nerds were literally the outcasts, right? And now we are pretty much the ones that, well, we pretty much are everyone, right? I mean, it's amazing that... I remember getting teased so much in high school, and now the people that I talk to, they're like, dude, I wish I could do some therapy like that. Like you seriously use D&D role play for fucking sex therapy? How the fuck does that work? Right.
That's awesome though. That's awesome. Like, I mean, yeah.
It makes sense that you wouldn't. Really, it's, you know, therapy should be brought to in any way that it can connect to the person that needs it. Right.
Right?
So, yeah, absolutely. I think that's awesome that you're able to connect it with D&D and stuff. And
yeah,
I think if we hadn't figured out our own little therapy just through banging the shit out of each other, that would have been helpful for us to figure something out like that for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that our therapy is, approved by anybody.
No, probably not.
We being sex therapists, like typically most of us sex therapists who are either ASEX certified or working on their ASEX certification, which is where I'm at in the process. But like most of us are, man, we're so sex positive. Like, so for us, it's like, you know what? Sex is beautiful. And you know, I don't yuck somebody else's yum. I'll never yuck somebody else's yum. I don't give a shit what your yum is, man. I might love chocolate, but
right.
someone else may really love peanut butter. And I'm thinking, hey, that's some Reese's cup kind of shit, right? So
exactly. Yep.
That's sure. That's one of those phrases that like we learned early on and like really tried to embrace, the don't yuck somebody else's yum. Because it really can just totally harsh a vibe.
Oh, for sure.
An entire situation. Just an expression that you've given to somebody when they want to share a story. And
or like their excitement of something.
Right. So we've made a very conscious effort that anytime somebody tells us anything about, you know, what they're into, we're never, ew, we don't give a face or anything. I'm always curious.
Right. You're always
I'm
like,
forever curious. I've got tell a question me everything. About anything that you tell me. Right. But, I like that phrase, the don't yuck, you know, someone else's yum.
Yeah.
Well, and we as sex therapists, I mean, we had to go through, I know in my training program, we had to go through what's called a SAR, which is a sexual attitude reassessment. And basically it was like 14 hours of watching different kinds of porn for different kinds of things, having group discussion about how it made us feel, you know, like different things. Just so that when we have clients come into us telling us about their experience with anal fisting, we're not fucking looking at them like they're crazy, right? So, like, yeah, I think, and for me, like, absolutely, anal fisting's probably not my thing. However, you know, like, I really, really am interested in the fact that, hey, if this is your thing, if it's giving you pleasure, fuck what anybody else says, right?
Exactly.
Like, let's just... That's not their business, right? And so when you come into me and as a therapist and you're saying, hey, I have this thing, I think this is weird, right? Like, and I'm asking, you know, what's your definition of weird? Who's telling you this shit's weird, right? Because we live in a society, right, that is so fucking capitalizing on sexual shame that anything you do that's outside the normal, you know, missionary penis and vagina fucking context is considered weird. And I'm like, but that would include eating like, you know, whipped cream out of your fucking ass, man. I mean, do your thing, man. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah,
man. We've been fighting that stigma. That's like part of the whole starting this podcast and stuff is us just like owning our shit and just being like, you know what? Fuck it. We have to like, this is our job, essentially, is making adult content.
Right.
And we were at the point where we had this anxiety and we just couldn't push through and market the way that we needed to because we're thinking about what is everybody else going to think about our job?
God forbid someone stumbles across it as we're like marketing it. And like, we're like, we just have to like own this and just be who we are. And like, if they don't like it,
it's been helpful for other people to be able to see it. And one of the things that we're starting to go on, we're not sex therapists by any means, but we, you know, just like to say, hey, we are people that have been through shit.
Right.
We've experienced things and Steph has a very unique perspective or from a woman's perspective on somebody who's just like totally anxious and almost disinterested.
Right.
Turning it around 180 and being like, okay, if I can just like get over that fear of like just trying it, getting out of my head and say, hey, I can try anything once.
Right.
That's been huge for her.
Yes.
So now we want to take that gift and just be like, okay, so we're going to do like these videos essentially where we're calling it awkward sex ed. We're taking the podcast style of things where we talk about it ahead of time. We talk about Steph's anxieties that she may have had. Issues that we may have had in the past for trying certain things like anal. And then we'll take it from the podcast and we'll bring it over into kind of our closed OnlyFans forum.
Right.
Where we can go into a little more depth and take it in real time. And something where couples can be like, hey, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to follow along in real time.
Right.
And Steph's going to give me that straight up, hey, that fucking hurt. Stop. Yeah. You know, she just cannot put on the fake porn thing. That's just not who she is. So I think she was like, nobody's going to want to see that. I'm like, no, you're fucking perfect. You are literally the specimen that everybody needs to see because you're going to be the honest one. And people are going to be like, okay, I'm not alone in the way that I felt here.
Right.
That's normal. And, you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
That's at least my hope for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, and sex, whenever you're talking about sexuality, anything sexuality, right? Like communication's the number one key. I mean, you wouldn't have Batman if you didn't have the bat signal, right? Like how the fuck's he going to know where to go? It's kind of the same thing with your partners, right? Like if you don't have good communication, how the fuck does your partner know where to go? And now that doesn't always have to be verbal communication. It can absolutely be nonverbal communication. I mean, it's okay if we like get down kind of down and dirty, right, on the show. I mean, like if I discuss it. Okay. So just making sure it's not like a PG rated kind of thing, but like, so like if you're going down on, if you're going down on your woman or on your significant other, right? Like, so it's not always going to be them saying, oh yeah, to the left, what you do is you pay attention to those nonverbal cues, right? Like which way is she shifting? What's she doing? That's how you know what you're doing is doing well. Because honestly, let's be real about it. There are a lot of people who don't make a lot of noise when they're having sex. And the reason they don't is because it's kind of one of those things that they were brought up with this shame saying, oh, that's not good. We can't have you making noise and actually enjoying yourself. This is just for fucking procreation, which is such bullshit. Right.
But to be fair, I think you just enjoy the dead fish.
Do I?
I think that's your style.
You're just like, lay there.
Yeah, that's your natural.
Be quiet.
Yeah, that's. She's in her zen.
Yeah, there's no like, I'm enjoying
there's
it.
There's no nonverbal. Somebody gave us the idea one time, feel her heart, you know? And I was like, yes.
That sounds
That'll be
great.
It. So, dude, we got into it the other night. Man, I was fucking killing it. And I was like, you're not communicating. I was like, oh, let me feel your heart. So I put my hand on her heart, and I'm going to town. That thing didn't move.
It didn't jump, didn't
spike. Didn't jump, didn't do shit. I'm like, I either suck at this,
no,
or she just sucks at communicating.
I just suck at communicating, but...
Well, and two, you have to look at it from her perspective, too. Some of the things that in this case, one of the things that I would recommend is pay attention to the small, like, micro shifts, right? Like, so, like, if you're, you'll know, right? Like, is she grinding in towards you a little bit further? Is she pulling back? Like, there's different things that you can do if you're paying attention to nonverbal cues. You can kind of figure
cued
out.
In on you. Am I cued in on you?
Yeah, no, he is 100%.
She
like,
does
he
not
knows
give anything.
No, like he knows
if
more
I'm
about rub, what
if I'm giving her a massage, dude. Like just a gentle hand body massage. I can. I know that woman like the back of my hand, and I can read her body cues there. The second her vagina gets involved, dead fish. That's it. Which is funny because, like, obviously she can turn it on when she needs to for like filming.
But like,
if she's in, what it is for her, she says, is she gets into her head to where she's just so relaxed.
Right.
And enjoying it, that's just her natural way of just being like,
I just, like, my, everything shuts off because I'm, like, I'm just so, and like, because a lot of the time, it's, we're either filming something or we're doing it just for us. And so it's, like, when it's filming, I have to be, like, 100% on and, like, you know, there. And then when it's just us, I'm, like, okay, I can, like, turn it off, if you will. And, like... Just kind of.
We're trying to find that happy middle.
Enjoy.
Ground. There's a happy middle ground
it's
there.
Not
somewhere.
That I don't enjoy it while I'm filming, but like it's a whole like.
Well, so
it's
it
a
gets
whole thing.
It gets into this thing where we have these things called it's the autonomic nervous system, right? So you have your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system, and so your sympathetic nervous system, right? That's that fight, flight, freeze, that kind of thing, right? And then your parasympathetic nervous system is that relax and sleep and rest kind of mode. And so when you're super comfortable in sex, right, you're going to sometimes hit that parasympathetic nervous system, which we're going to call what we're really going to call is we're going to say that's fucking meditation, right? You're meditating with fucking, right? And that's kind of like where we're at like that, but it takes you to that calm place. And the funny shit is, right, is when you're getting aroused, arousal comes better at this in the sympathetic nervous system, but orgasm comes better with the parasympathetic nervous system because orgasm comes better when you're able to relax and fully embrace. Huh.
So one thing that I will say, and we can tie that into a recent experience, well, really two. So we were lucky. I recently discovered that I'm really good at Tinder. Like... really good. I'd never tried it before. Like it just didn't pop up to me as like
something
I should try. And of course my wife is like, yeah, do it. Of course.
Whatever.
So I was like, yeah, let me try. So we hooked like two unicorns within this last week. Just women that were just like, yeah, we're just going to
come over.
Love to come over and have sex with you. And we're like, yes, we'd love to have sex with you too.
Come on. Right.
Absolutely. So it's wonderful. So what I realized though is because she's now out of her anxiety that she's been in, they're obviously not the first two women we've had sex with.
Right.
But because of her being out of this anxiety, she fully enjoyed herself.
Right.
Like this woman went like full feral. Like it was amazing. It was a beautiful thing to see. And I wish I would have, neither of these women wanted to film, unfortunately. So of course I didn't get this on film.
Right.
But it's cool to me to like see her. Okay. Because of that anxiety has been dropped. And because, you know, she's seen and talked to so many other people that have been through this shit. She knows that she's allowed to enjoy herself in this situation now. And it obviously makes it like 100 times better for me.
Right.
But
right.
Well, and it makes you feel good to see her enjoying herself. We call that, like, in non-monogamy, we call that compersion. I'm pretty sure I've heard you talk about that on your show even, is like, it's just compersion. It's
opposite
it's
of like jealousy.
What's that?
I think of compersion as the opposite of jealousy.
Yes and no. So, like, let me kind of explain, right? So, like, if she had fucked somebody else that was, and it was really, really good, you can still have jealousy and be, but is it really jealousy or is it envy? So you might be envious and say, well, fuck, I wasn't even right there, man. That would have been so much fun to be there. But I'm glad she enjoyed her experience. So you can have like what's kind of jealousy and compersion at the same time. A lot of people think that they're opposite. They're two separate feelings, right? That's it. It's two separate feelings.
I think it's to explain it to somebody that doesn't understand what compersion would mean entirely, though. I think it's a good way to look at it because it's essentially your ability to feel happy for somebody over something that an accomplishment or something that they've done versus feeling like, oh man, I wish it was me. Correct.
Right.
Right. And we do this with our friends all the time. That's the funny part. We get compersion with our friends constantly. It's like your friend gets that fucking kick-ass job that you would have really loved having, but your friend just nailed this fucking job and you're like, that's fucking badass, dude.
Yep.
Now can you get me on? Right.
You're like, hey, help me out. Yeah.
Help a brother out, you know? But we have these kind of things with several different relationships, but half the time, because of traditional monogamy is not set up for that shit, right? That they're not set up for compersion. They're set up for, oh, I own you. Right. And, you know, I'm in a conscious monogamous relationship with my wife. And I always tell people conscious monogamy basically means that yes, we're monogamous, but we're open to renegotiating that relationship agreement at some point, right? Like we're open to it. We're not totally barring it right now. This is just where we're at. And so like you get into the so many different dynamics. And what I really like to tell people is like, look at the different dynamics of like the Avengers, right? Like everybody has a different dynamic with each other and everybody has different relationships with each other, right? Like, so,
for sure.
So, you know, like Black Widow kind of digging on some Hulk, right? And who wouldn't? The big green motherfucker. I mean, he's sexy, right? And, you know, I mean, so you got these different fucking things at play on the Avengers and it explains relationship dynamics pretty well. But you don't see a whole lot of monogamy when you're looking at groups like that. And unfortunately, we've had this shame of monogamy, right? This shame that monogamy has put on people, and not all monogamy, but like definitely the traditionalist, like, oh, the church says you should do this kind of shit, right? And so when we strip back that shame and start embracing sexuality like a fucking beast, then you start being able to grow in, yourself. Right. And I think that's what I see happening whenever I've been listening to you guys' podcast for a couple of days. And that's kind of what I see happening is like, the more you guys are doing this stuff and opening up to more experiences and things like that, you're seeing this growth, right? And I think that's where you go with it, is you just keep going with the growth and use all the nerdy shit you can. I tell people, nerd the fuck out. Because look at it. I'm going to mention something that that Stephanie had mentioned, right? And that was Pokemon Go. She loves her some yep. Pokemon Go, right? Yep. And so if you look at the Pokeballs, right? And they have this beautiful animal, this beautiful Pokemon inside. But they're closed. They're so closed. And while they're in that closed, they can't come out and show that that extreme awesomeness that they are, right? But once they're able to open up and start communicating with their trainer, and then they get to evolve eventually. And they start evolving into different creatures and shit that are fucking even more phenomenal. So that's kind of how we are with our relationships, right? Once we, if we're completely closed.
Did he just compare you to a Pokemon?
Yeah.
He definitely did. That's all right. Look at you.
I'm good. I like it. It's cool.
If we're completely closed to everything, right? We don't get to grow and evolve.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Yeah.
It makes, dude, that was a good analogy. I was going to call bullshit on that one for a second. You started out, and I was like, but no, I dig it.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I can pretty much turn anything nerdy into sex therapy, man. It's crazy. It's a gift, yo.
Everybody has their gift. So let me ask you this. So one of the things we've been struggling with lately is labeling our relationship, because I feel like when we go discuss like us with anybody else, there's no other couple that we've come across that is quite as attached as we right. are. So like the way that we handle, like we just don't do anything away from each other. Like sometimes we'll like, you know, she'll take the kids to go do something or I'll take the kid to go do something. But like, we don't do guys weekends. I don't do
girls.
But we just genuinely like hanging out with each other. So for us, it's like we're polyamory, obviously isn't quite what it is.
Right.
Ethical non-monogamy, I think, would be closer to what it is.
Okay.
But the definition of monogamy to you, what is monogamy?
It really depends on which type, right? Traditional traditional monogamy is very closed. There's not the whole swinging thing or any of that stuff. That's not traditional monogamy,
right?
Like not at all. I would say that swinging is in between conscious monogamy and polyamory. If you had to have a place, you would put it between conscious monogamy and polyamory, or actually conscious monogamy and open relationships, which is a little bit different, because in open relationships, you're not forming like huge, huge relationships with everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's free to go fuck and that kind of stuff. And like monogamy, obviously, I'm not going out and having sex with anybody else, but we're fluid enough to understand that that could be a possibility later, right? So when you're in that swinger dynamic, it's very much kind of in between those two kinds of things, right?
Yes. I still wouldn't even like, we've always labeled ourselves as swingers, but we've like recently just kind of not discovered, but like started thinking really maybe, I mean, not that we're not swingers, but like maybe that's not our label, and we just don't know like where we fall in all the grand scheme of things. So
I would really tell you guys to check out Katie Lurie's book Open Deeply, and it's a book about opening up and different and non-monogamy, that kind of thing. But I really like how she defines relationships, and she calls relationships fluid relationships, which means you can be anywhere on the spectrum at any given time.
Okay.
All right. And I really like that, because honestly, relationships are a spectrum. And at some point, and if you are an open-minded person, right, you can be at any given time at one of those different levels.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like we are not opposed to, you know, swinging or whatever, but like, we're not like, let me just go jump in bed with anybody that looks at us. Like we're particular and like, you know, we're picky, and which is, you know, reasonable, I think. For, I don't know, maybe we're not reasonable, but
I gotta have connection. I think that's where me and my wife are, is I have to have connection. I can't just one night stands don't work for me. So have never really worked for me. I need some kind of connection.
We are opposite of that.
We're opposite of that.
We are now. That is what
we are now. But like before, we thought we had to like do the whole like wine and dine and like meet up and do all this.
You were nodding your head. Yes. Like you.
Well, had no, I was understanding what he was saying. I was going, okay.
Absolutely.
But like now.
I've been giving her crap all day. Our kids have been just
feral.
Feral. So we've just been just back and forth at each other, just joking because it's the only thing we can do to survive.
That gets us through the day. But
one thing I would definitely say too is so many people are so game at fucking needing a label, and you really don't. Here's the thing: you guys are in a relationship. You love each other. You like fucking other people.
I don't think I need a label. I think it's more so it's easier to use, and it gets thrown out so much. I don't think I realized it before, but especially when you're looking at like Tinder, everybody's fucking ethical non-monogamy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if I was going to say that that would probably be what I would classify you guys as is just ethical non-monogamous, because it's just a good umbrella term, right? Like it's not, there's so much stuff involved. It's not all polyamory. It's not all swinging. It's not all open relationships. It's a good umbrella term, which just means that you do have non-monogamy. You do have non-monogamy in your life, but you do it ethically, right? You're just, I mean, you're not lying to each other. You're open and honest with each other. And so for me, that's as good a label as anything, if you're going to have one, right? Is just say, look, I'm ethically non-monogamous. What flavor of that depends on my day, man.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
We're at the point we discovered, I think, that we physical attraction is important, and we have to make sure the person isn't a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I really struggle. Like, if you're going to send me a text message and I can't understand
you. Can't decipher, like, that, like, what it is.
I don't know. I feel like that one just turns me off immediately.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, we had a woman last week who hit us up, and, like, literally within 12 hours, we were
was over
her brains out.
Right.
When she came over, I think we started within like 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, if not less.
Yeah, like I was,
yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was one of the best fucking experiences of my life.
It was
life.
A lot of fun, yeah, it's but.
Like fucking 9 o'clock in the morning, too.
Yeah.
Like, I snuck her around the side of my house so she like could we come were have teenagers sex with my wife again. And I. Like, what the fuck? It's like, hey, you guys go to the other side of the house. Lock yourself in the room.
Yeah, like, see you later.
I've got a work meeting.
Absolutely. Well, and we do this a lot. I mean, people do a lot as far as like just figuring out what your needs, your desires, your fantasies are, right? And there's no really wrong way to do it, as long as you are doing it in a way that is not hurtful to other people, right? That's the one thing that I look at it is everybody, if everybody's on board with whatever fucking dynamic you have, is everybody's on board, cool. Right.
Right.
And I think we talk a lot in consensual non-monogamy and ethical non-monogamy about unicorn hunting. And like, I've never had a problem with unicorn hunting as long as everybody is on board with what this is going to be and the intent and the things like that. Right. What I have issues with is if you say that, yes, we're going to bring you in as part of our relationship and you act like you're going to give them equal treatment. Where and at the same time, you're letting all the couple's privilege go on and things like that, when all you have to do is seriously just be open and saying, yeah, we're here for some fun. I'm not going to say we won't end up caring about you, but like, this is me and my wife, and I'm sorry, but that's kind of where we're at, and be upfront and honest about that shit, right?
All
right. That's kind of where it gets tricky, is you have so many people who don't want to be honest about things. They want to go in and say, well, I'm polyamorous, and at the same time they know damn well that they're hierarchical polyamorous, right? Like that my wife is, and if we're ever poly, most likely it's going to be hierarchical because she's my wife, and I'm sorry, there is that special connection that somebody else doesn't have with me, right? And so
I get that. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm going to be upfront and honest about it and say, look, she's my wife. There will almost always be couples privilege. That's just how it is. Before you ever jump on board this ship, you need to understand where the rowboats are, okay? That's right. Just, I mean, you got to understand.
We make that blaringly obvious.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, we are like, very, like, we'll be like, what are your, you know, like, yeses, nos, whatever. And then we say, you know, like, for us, like, we say all of our stuff and we make it very well known that, like,
We always told, we were like, look, we're batshit crazy about each other.
Right.
We will work together to give you the best moment of your life.
Right.
And it works every time.
It works, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. When I think that's where I go with anything, man, is I'm going to do the best that I possibly can to make you have a fun experience. And when I'm talking about it, I'm talking about therapy, obviously. And that's part of the problem with therapy. Most of the time when people talk about therapy, they're like, oh man, I gotta fucking go to therapy. I have literally had clients call me up and be like, dude, can we make our appointment sooner, please?
That's cool.
And yeah, a lot of it is because, like, look, first off, you meet your clients where they're at, right? You got to meet the clients where they're at, like mentally, right? So, like, I'm not going to come in and be a suit and tie guy because that's fucking not me. And honestly, most of my clients really appreciate that, right? They're like, dude, he's just a normal fucking guy, right?
That's exactly how I became successful in real estate, was not wearing the suit and tie, man, just... I'd show up in a t-shirt and jeans and cowboy boots.
Yep. And that was it.
I'd sell the fuck out of it. Because people were like, I trust him because he did not have to dress up to make himself
look professional. Important. Right.
When I've been like this ever since I first started therapy. See, I live in Canada now, right? Like,
okay.
And I practice in Maine, but I was born in Fort Worth, Texas and raised in Oklahoma. And competed in Playday rodeos, right? Like, dude, I'm never gonna be that guy that's gonna be wearing a suit and tie unless my wife fucking forces me for some ungodly known fucking reason, right? But I'm also going to do my best to be the most professional person that I can, because there has to be therapeutic boundaries, right? But what people forget about therapy is therapy doesn't work if you can't develop a relationship with your therapist. And makes so, sense. You know, you get to that place, there has to be therapeutic alliance. Am I really going to be, for me, if I go see a therapist, right? Like, the fact that you're fucking dressed up in a suit and tie and cardigan, like, that's probably, I'm probably done. I'm probably out. Like, because I'm looking at you and I'm like, what kind of fucking conversation am I going to have with this dillweed, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, for sure. Like, be like, I can't take you, not seriously, but like, yeah, I can't open up and tell you the things I need to tell you when you look like that.
For sure.
Yeah, that is true.
So I bring off, so that's why I bring out all the nerdy shit. That's why I like to talk nerdy stuff. And like, that's why I have a Medium account. I write fucking shit like crazy all the fucking time.
All right.
And awesome.
It's just fun. I mean, I sent you the link to my Medium account and to my two podcasts and stuff like that. So guys, give it a check out, man. I think you'll probably enjoy some of it at least. Like, I think one of my articles was the psychological benefits of swinging. That was fucking one of my favorite articles. And then the psychological benefits of burlesque. That's a fantastic thing, right?
Now, have you heard about Steph's big feet and what she's done, what she's known for?
Oh, I was like, what are you?
Taking virginities.
Yeah.
That's been her whole thing. She has taken 16 dudes' virginities.
Yep.
I mean, you know, hey.
And it has been, her whole thing is about anxiety, essentially. Right. These guys all have anxiety.
The stigma.
They got screwed over one way or another by society, you know. Girlfriend, you know, cheated on them.
Said we're going to wait till marriage. Then she's whatever. Cheating.
So she just started to do that. But I feel like that's like one of those things that's just so, like...
There's a whole field that's very similar to that called sexual surrogacy, right? And a lot of sex therapists partner with some of these folks just to kind of like, because it's not stuff we can do, but like we can definitely say, okay, this is a surrogate, and they go through training, they go through specific training as far as like mental health and all kinds of other stuff, right?
Oh yeah, we're not the healthiest way to do it for sure, because we're gonna film your ass and put it up on OF.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we film it all, and you know, like. But like
it's
they,
awesome. You'll they, feel like
we have their consent, so it's not like, you know, we're doing it and.
But who says that's them. Not? But who says that's not healthy?
You're right.
Yeah, that's true.
No, honestly, it is. Like I think it is because so for us, it goes along with the same thing of what we're trying to do with this education thing, right? It's giving other people the ability to see somebody that's in the same situation that they're in, and see that hey, you know, my situation isn't as dire.
Or it's not so bad.
Oh, it took this guy this long to go, or this guy didn't even come on his first time, or.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Or, I mean, like, all these he has no scenarios. Idea where, like, the clit is or, like, how
to... Yeah, literally, I got videos where the guy's like, I've literally never seen a vagina before. I'm like,
he's
all
like,
right.
Can
and
you
so,
teach
like,
me? And we're like,
she's just laying out there, and I'm like, boom. You know what I mean?
Well, and realizing, too, right, with the, when you get into the clit, you're getting into a whole new area, right? Because you have so many guys that think it's just a little fucking baby knob when actually it looks more like a wishbone, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like, the legs go down into the fucking vaginal wall. So that whole saying about size doesn't matter, if we're talking about length, I absolutely fucking agree. Size doesn't matter, but girth does matter. And it's because that girth is what rubs in the sides of the vaginal wall, which is what is able to, I guess, move those the legs of the clit, which actually helps with engorging the clit, making it a little bit more sensitive and things like that. I think, honestly, part of the problem with so many men, and it's not all men, obviously, but so many men are not fucking clitorate, man, at all, right? And I think males should be forced to take a class specifically on the clitoral complex, man. I really do, so that they get an understanding of it.
And, well, first off, the information that's out there for guys in general is all fucking over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, over the years when I was just trying to figure shit out with her, figuring out, you know, just
anything.
I'd look it up and you get fucking, okay, am I going to go to Cosmo and read some dumbass shit that, like, is not backed up by
You read, anything? Like, 15 different articles and
the
it's
fucking
all
medical
telling
field,
you something different.
One that I don't understand, this jargon. You know, there's all this shit in between that's giving you all these different kinds of answers. And I didn't know about podcasts or I probably would have been
listening to those
back then. But yeah. I don't know. It's just, you're right, though. Guys just do not know. So right. Part of it for me, I'm so comfortable in many situations, and I'm especially comfortable with my wife,
right?
That if I can show them and break it down, like, I'm not going into full-on, like, anatomy necessarily.
No.
But, like, I'm comfortable with it. She's comfortable with it, and
if it helps alleviate their anxiety and whatever, like,
I mean, there's
I'm
been so many different situations where we've had to, like, come together and figure out, okay, how can we help this guy out of his head? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, get him out of his head.
Because,
and
obviously, when you have their husband there and you have cameras and it's your,
and
first,
it's your
time
first time right.
ever having sex, nerves can kick in a little bit. But,
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, it's pretty wild shit. But,
yeah.
It's one of our favorite things to do. Well, her favorite thing. I don't really give a fuck about it, right, to be honest. Like, virgins just aren't my thing, but they turned into her thing. She's like...
It's fun. Yeah, I don't know.
So...
I think, too, like, we look at... one of the things that about recording it, right, that's very helpful, is that say you're with somebody that does have a body negative, like, thought process, right? Like, you can send these videos to them and say, look, I want you to focus on the areas of yourself that you like. You focus enough on the areas you don't. I want you to focus on the areas you like and tell me at least two.
Okay. Yeah.
One of the exercises that I have literally sent clients home to do is called it's a mirror exercise, and they stand in front of their mirror, and you see it on Gloop. There's this show called Goop, and one of the therapists actually does it. And I found that was one of my fucking favorite exercises that they did, but you send them in front of the mirror and have them get naked in front of the mirror, not with me as the therapist there, but like at home. And, like, really look at their body, because we spend so much time sometimes avoiding looking at our own bodies, because we have all these people telling us, oh, if you're overweight, you're ugly as fuck. Or if you've got a funky toe, then, oh, shit, fuck that. Right. Look at your body and start appreciating the fact that bodies are diverse. And look, honestly, you may not be everybody's cup of tea, and that's absolutely fine. But you should be your own cup of tea. Right. Look and find the spots on your body that you really fucking love, because there's got to be something.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm a relatively big guy, man. Like, I'm 260. Like, I've got a beer belly from fucking hell. I mean, I'm from Texas. Ex-cowboy, used to drink shitloads of beer, man. It's fucking, that's just how it the fuck is. But I can sit there and look at myself and say, you know, I really like my beard today, man. It's fucking rocking. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you get to those places where you have to start looking at, what is positive about my body? We sit here and we're always going to be our own worst critics. That's just fucking life, right? So we also need to be our own best cheerleaders too.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't have both. Or you need to have both. You can't not have both. You have to have both. Because there's times that we do need to be realistic about ourselves. But there's also times that we have to say, look, being so negative is also not realistic about ourselves. Because there's someone out there that finds anyone out there attractive, right? That they just do.
Yep. Right. For sure. Yeah.
We've discovered that there is something for everybody.
Right. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But okay, well, this may be a good place for us to end, but I do have two.
Let's say there's two.
Final questions for you. All right.
Okay.
The first one is, do you watch porn?
I do. In fact, me and my wife just watched some, and it was an amazing thing because my wife, for a very long time, was super, super porn negative, and we were able to watch a porn, and she still doesn't like all porn, right?
Yeah.
But we were able to watch a porn that didn't scare her so much. And so she was able to open up to that porn. And so it kind of helped in the aspect of helping improve her sex positivity too.
Can I ask what it was about that porn in particular that made her like open up?
Well, she liked it that it was two bi guys and a woman, right? She really liked that aspect of it, which kind of is very conducive to our relationship, right? Like I'm a bi guy, she's a woman. So like, if we ever were to just have a play night, it would probably be with another guy just because like we both like, you know, sausages. So, you know, I always tell people all the time, I like tacos and I like sausages and you can have both at the same fucking time. That's a delicacy, baby. That's fucking what that is. Right. And so, you know, so that kind of helped her to open up and to realize that not all porn is bad, because she was raised in that stereotypical shaming fucking atmosphere.
We're fighting that so damn hard.
Yeah.
We say that ours is ethical, man. We got ethical porn because hers is, I mean, hers really like 16 dudes whose lives have changed. I mean, most of them have been able to go on and like
slay right
afterwards, you know, but it is consensual. We tell them ahead of time, we're going to keep your identity safe. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about it during this session. You should not be in the back of your head that, oh, somebody's going to find out that this is me. Nah, we've got you covered. And we're not going to make you look dumb.
Right.
We're not going to advertise and be like, oh, look at this small dicked virgin. You know, if you do have a big dick, I will advertise that.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that.
There's no safety
there. You know, I feel like, I don't know, it's ethical is so important because for us, we can't watch the fake shit.
Right.
When she was watching it and it was just,
I can't do that.
She would just be like, I fucking turn this off.
Right. What, like,
what my wife liked most about the porn that we liked is it was amateur, right? It was not like a professionally done thing. They weren't fucking acting. They were having fucking a good time, but it wasn't this constant, and the dude's barely even touching her, right?
Right.
I'm like, fucking shut up, lady. I know this is acting. And if I was the director, I would kick the fucking shit out of you. At this point, you're not there yet, okay? Maybe at some point, but not right now.
Right.
See, you can tell for a fact ours is not fake. I mean, you look at our shit and we're like stumbling. We did the ninth dude that she took his virginity of.
Yes.
He was excited enough and willing enough that we were able to try her first DVP.
Yes.
You can tell for sure that shit wasn't staged. That looks like amateur hour, us trying to get onto that fucking bed. It looks like clowns trying to get into a fucking car, man.
Bouncing around, losing our balance. Yeah, it was a mess. But like,
it's awesome. And it's people's favorite thing to watch because they're like, that's real. Is fucking real. Right. You know what I mean? They didn't stage that. They didn't practice it. We literally just met the dude like 30 minutes before him.
Right.
You know? So it's all raw. And it's, I don't know. I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but like if I'm going to watch something, that's what I want to watch.
Right. I want to watch the awkward. I want to watch the like the real.
And I feel like what we have and what we do and what our friends do is going to be more helpful for like the married women that are trying to get into this thing that have that stigma of, oh, sex is bad.
Right.
Like not only is it great, she's enjoying herself and you can enjoy it and support her. Right. You know?
I think too, when you do porn that way, right, with that ethical standpoint and also in a way that's not overly fucking produced, right? then I think at that point people feel it's like the counselor with the fucking suit. If I go into a place and he's got a suit on, I'm freaking out. But if he's got jeans and a baseball cap, I'm probably not. So like same thing with porn. If I'm watching these porns with like these fake titted women that like have had labiaplasty and are fucking moaning like every 5 seconds, I'm probably not going to look at that as very educational at all. But yet at the same time, if I'm looking at these things where it's more realistic, fuck, honestly, if I was going to tell my kid to watch more porn, which I have on many occasions, but like if I were going to, it's definitely the stuff that is like not overly produced, because I want him to see what sex is really like and not what a fucking porn is like. Right. It's a different fucking thing.
Right.
Yep, that's where we're trying to market that corner right now.
Yep.
Steph's going to tell people what is it really, really like.
What is it right? Like? You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you.
That's her personality. Yeah. We're just embracing it at this point. Yeah. Like, I think there's a lot more people that have the exact mindset that she does. That's what we're finding out. So, you know, if my gift to the world is, you know, teaching a million women how to have anal sex and love it, then, you know.
Goddamn, we'll do it.
You know?
It's all about prep, right? You got to do the prep work, man. That's the thing. You can't just slam it in there. You got to do the prep work. There are some really good easy tips, like just doing some swirls around the front, like a little bit of swirling around the sphincter and things like that, kind of loosen it up a bit. And then you can also, when it comes to anal sex, I tell you what, straight up, you can't have enough lube, man. Yeah. You can't have too much lube. It's always valuable. You should always use it because then you don't rip the muscles that are in there. And you can if you're not careful. Anal is a great fucking thing, but you have to take precautions with it, right? You can't just say, oh, I'm sticking it in.
Yeah.
There's more to it than that.
And that's what we want to be able to show people is just essentially like, hey, there is a maybe not so sexy aspect to the getting ready part of it.
Right. That you don't
but
see.
Like, you need to do it. We want to show the parts that aren't seen and kind of get rid of that stigma, because I think porn has ruined a lot of that for guys, you know?
Yeah.
Just, hey, I'm just going to spit on her asshole and shove it in. No, you are not, dude.
Nope.
And come on, guys, spit. Let's talk about this, okay? Like, I was watching a porn the other day with my wife, one of the porns we watched, and these people were spitting on each other. I want you to understand, spit ends up getting sticky. It's not the best fucking lubrication, man. It's just not.
I mean, I spit on her pussy all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like not like we're going to be going like forever
quickies.
Right.
But no, spit is definitely a secondary lube for us. I'm not going to lie. But like, just to start, it's not
but
like
it's
I'm
not
like
my favorite like, thing. I'm like, yeah, like you can definitely tell the difference between them.
No, well, so you do them, so, and you do it well. And here, look, do it if you're doing it fine, man. Like, just make sure that
don't you yuck my yum, dude. Are you yucking way? My yum?
Never. Like I said, people can do it all they want. Just recognize, like, that the benefit of it is really not that much, man.
What is the second question that we have?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
I forgot it.
I don't remember.
Shit, that last one was so good. I may have to get back to you for the second question now, because I just totally forgot it.
I don't remember it.
But thank you for the answer on the porn one. That was a very good one.
Yes.
Those are super interesting to me, because everybody has their own like experience and thought with it. And I think
But like, was that the second question?
No.
Okay.
No, there's something else, but that's all right.
I don't remember. Well,
we'll let you go, man. Whenever you want to have us on, we'd be happy to come talk about it. We got all kinds of weird ass stories we could share with you, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But I really enjoyed picking your brain today, man. Yeah, it was super, super interesting. And it's always nice to be able to have somebody that we can geek out with on certain things, too.
For sure.
So hopefully everybody will go check out your podcast as well. And I'll have all of that stuff in the description of the link. Description of the podcast. Jeez.
All right, well, man, I really, really love awkward pillow talk. So, man, hey, you know, this is good stuff, right? I enjoyed coming on the show, man. Like, thanks for letting me come on, man.
Of course, yeah.
Appreciate it. And everybody else, feel free to go check us out. Remember to check out onlyfans.com/awkwardtalk. And for the really fucking good stuff, onlyfans.com/StephanieClass.
Yep.
Or, you know, we do have that no pay-per-view page that I just uploaded like 100 full-length videos to of just us.
Yes.
And that is onlyfans.com/theclassroom, because we're just going to take all your money. That's the plan.
That's the plan. Yes.
Every fucking penny. But thank you, Tim, and
yes,
everybody
you.
Else. Thank you for listening too.
All right. Have a good day.
So we dropped all of our prices because we're trying to create community here instead of just try to make money. You know, I always said that when I was in real estate, that if we took care of our community first, the money would come. And that's exactly,
take care of us.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do here. So on our Fansly now, we have it opened up pretty wide for about $100. You can see every pay-per-view that we have available opened right there. We're also dropping the prices of all our pay-per-views across the board. So instead of $30 a pop, they're going to be $20 a pop. We know the economy is struggling right now, but we also just really want to increase the amount of people that can see our content and possibly join in. So if you think that might be you, check it out, virginitysnatchers.com. Please support us and leave a comment, like it, share it, tell your family about it, and we'll see you there. So, you know, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, the Summer's Eve products, you know, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve.
Right.
Or Spring Blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, it's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
I was like, uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And, you know, you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself, too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
It works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to, you know, take away that natural
flavor,
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code StephanieClassX and get yourself.
Hey, Jason, I think it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
All right, babe. What do you got on your mind?
Well, we've been talking about the Spicy Pages a lot on the podcast, but I think it's time that we finally invite them in and let them see what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody always wants to know how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. And the first way to get involved is to, you know, actually see what it is that we do. All of our stuff is so real and so raw.
Right.
But how are you thinking we do it? Like movie announcer style?
Sure, we can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a go. In a world where ordinary podcasts just aren't enough, two podcasters with incredible genitalia break free from the mic to bring you an awkward experience like no other. Exclusive content awaits at virginitysnatchers.com.
Dive deep behind the scenes and join us for unfiltered, uncut, and undeniably wild adventures.
Don't just listen. Be a part of the journey.
You can come watch me take every single virginity, see close-ups as they enter my pussy for the first time, and get an even closer look into our kinky world.
How was that for dramatic?
I mean, it was dramatic. It might be a little over the top, but I think they'll get the point.
All right. Well, if y'all want to reach out to us, you check out our paid pages. You can find them all on virginitysnatchers.com. Love to interact. We love to do custom content, and we love to help answer your questions. If you need a guaranteed response, you find us on there. If you want to support us, that's the way to do it. Now,
let's get back to the show.